in the dictionary. He lost his pride. Why? His desire to destroy grudge was thwarted. He made his clouds and winds, or his own clouds, stop giving disturbance, since by not withdrawing them, he feared he would be in trouble. He made the clouds and winds go away, leaving the sky, same translation. Jiva Goswami writes, seeing the sun becoming visible, seeing the fierce wind and rains had stopped, Krishna informed the people of this. He looked horizontally, like out into the horizon, and noticed this, since he was holding the mountain with his hand. With a burst of enthusiasm, Shukadev had a vision of Krishna lifting Govardhan, and thus described him as Govardhana Tara. Sanatana Goswami. Hearing that the sun becoming visible and that the fierce wind and rain had stopped, he spoke to the people. Because he personally did not investigate being attached to the happiness of holding the mountain, others saw and told him. Or he looked horizontally and noticed this. Still, holding up the mountain, he spoke. Even at this time, it was no effort to do this. Prakshit was worried that Krishna would be exhausted. Shukadev now pacifies him with this description. The next verse, text 26, so we're going to go through 29. Here's 26 commentary. Jiva Goswami. Oh, cowherd, who have protected the cows from the rain, that the rivers have decreased their waters is not astonishing, since the heat of Krishna's power has made the showering waters shrink. Without him doing that, the clouds of universal destruction would have inundated everything. Dhana refers to the cows, or the cows and their other wealth. Sanatana Goswami. Oh, cowherds who have protected the cows from the rain, go out with the women, wealth, and cows, and the children. The rivers swollen by rain have subsided. This means that water had left the land. Text 27. Vishwanath. Loading their goods on the carts, the cowherd men emerged from under the mountain. Jiva Goswami. After he had lifted the mountain and then spoke, the cowherds who had defeated Indra by accepting Krishna and had resorted to Krishna alone left the cavity, gathering the cows along with wealth and carts. The cowherds, women, children, and elders slowly left, since if they quickly left all at once, they would be crushed. Sanatana Goswami's commentary for 27. Because of his words, they were in the hole, and they went out. The people, though happily standing there gazing at Krishna, emerged, having seen the beautiful face of Krishna in a group of 7 days. In a group for 7 days, the women and children and old people went out slowly, taking their wealth in carts and the cows. They went slowly because it was their nature, or because of fear of more rain, or they could not go to the forest because they could not give up looking at Krishna, or everyone went slowly since they were attached to seeing his face at that time. Two more, there's 28 commentary, Jiva Goswami. The Lord, however, remained and then put down the hill after the people had left. He put it down in the same place as previously without deviating from the former placement. The mountain was the same as before without any change since he was endowed with great powers. He did this with great ease, which was attractive to all. And Sanatana Goswami writes, the others left, but the Lord put the mountain back in its previous place. He did this easily, not harshly throwing it down. No stone was left out of place. This shows Krishna's special power. All beings saw him hold it easily and put it down easily with astonishment. There was no doubt that he had done this. Quote, putting the mountain back after the hole was made would mean that the mountain would fall into the hole. Unquote. He could do anything. What was the goal? He was absorbed in revealing his unlimited powers by special pastimes and brunch. He acted in this way to perform various pastimes, otherwise he could not accomplish his happiness. And 29, we read the verse in purport, here's commentary by Vishwanath. And this is a little bit longer. Filled with love, they approached Krishna and, according to age, suitably showed affection. The elders blessed him by smelling his head, kissed him, massaged his left arm, which held up the mountain, cracking the fingers of his left hand, praising him, and asking if he was not tired or in pain. Equals exchanged smiles and joking. Juniors fell at his feet and massaged his feet. The coward women and the wives of the brahmanas respected him by throwing rice and yogurt and gave blessings such as, may you conquer the evil-minded, protect the righteous, give blessings to your father, give bliss to your father and mother, may you be blessed with wealth and power. Jiva Goswami, as if singing out of prema, Shukadeva Goswami describes the joyful meeting between all the people present there and the Lord. They approached him who had held Govardhan to protect Braja. They all met him with embraces, though he displayed great powers. The cause was the great abundance of prema caused by his actions in saving them. They approached him with embraces as well as blessings, smelling his head, grasping his feet, massaging his left hand, cracking his fingers, praising him and asking if he was no longer tired or suffering, appropriate to the rank of the person, superior, equal, or inferior. All were with affection. The gopis blessed him, saying, destroy the wicked, protect the righteous, be served by all powers and give joy to your own people. And Sanatana Goswami is final, and it's really long. As if singing out of prema, Shukadeva describes the joyful meeting between all the people present there and the Lord. They approached him who had held Govardhan to protect Braja. They all met him with embraces, though he had displayed great powers, the cause was the great abundance of prema caused by his actions in saving them. They approached him with embraces as well as blessings, smelling his head, etc., etc. The priests gave blessings, the elders smelled his head, the servants and children took his feet, friends embraced him, and massaged his arms. Yata, the term in the verse, can stand for yata vat, which means with tears and hair standing on end while they embraced. This would be natural to them. Yata vat. Just as the people came, the gopis came. Though in public, out of prema, they lost their composure. Just as others came, the gopis came with special bhavas, but they did not embrace him since it would be improper at that time. They acted according to their individual bhavas. This would be a statement made by Shukadev out of his special bhava. Some versions have the word cha, but it means api. They are described in a special way. They worshipped him by rubbing oil and ghee on his limbs because of prema. In bliss, they gained blessings. Control the wicked, protect the obedient. Always be served by all powers. Spontaneous blessings arose because they were intensely happy. Elders, youth, the children, as well as the priest came and worshipped appropriately by smelling his head, embracing his neck, and taking his feet. The gopis approached him with embraces, etc., in their minds. Final. The old women worshipped him affectionately. They worshipped Krishna, who had affection. They also gave blessings. And they all lived happily ever after. I mean, that's a line from fairy tales. Who lives happily ever after in the material world, but they lived happily and they remained happily situated ever after. The term in nectar devotion is clever. And clever, you know, our sense of what clever means may be not the same as what Rupa Goswami's sense of clever, but it's part of one of the qualities of Krishna is clever. And in this case, or in the nectar devotion, it's one of the features of clever is Krishna was capable of fulfilling multiple purposes with one word or one action. Many things. Like we were hearing, for example, with Ramayana, Ram's purposes were dharmic and prema, and they're not the same. It doesn't, one this excludes that one, it's either this or that kind of thing, not like that. Multiple purposes can be achieved by the same thing. So, specific for the Vrijvasis, it's prema. And sometimes prema is strengthened, that is prema with Krishna, is strengthened when there's difficulty, or worse, calamity, or worse, life-threatening. No, with life threatening circumstances commonly associated with that is fear. They were deeply, when Indra started doing what Indra did, their first thought was the protection of the cows, because that's what cowherds do, they protect cows. And Mother Jasoda's first thought was protecting Krishna. So the danger was created, or let's say sanctioned, because Krishna knew very well what Indra would do, and Indra did what he knew he would do. He exhibited pride. And when he exhibits pride, he does it in a certain way. And Krishna wanted to check his pride, so that was fulfilled. Indra's pride was checked. Now, it doesn't mean that if your pride is checked by something, that's it. No more pride, finished forever. And they lived happily forever after. Indra, the return of pride is not only likely, you know for sure, but nonetheless, Krishna doesn't like pride in the hearts of his devotees. We find this nice example in the situation with rasa dance with Krishna is not like a one-off pastime. There was again and again, and there were different places where that rasa dance would take place, specifically in Braja. Vangshivat was one of his favorite places. And then we know from Govardhan Leela, there's a place up on top of Govardhan Hill where Balaram was watching Krishna's rasa dance not far from Govardhan Hill, and he was astonished and his crown fell off. You know that pastime? No, Balaram?
No.
His Balaram's crown fell off, like, whoa. And when his crown, he was in such a state of ecstasy, the crown made an impression in one of the Govardhan Shilas, or the stones on the side of Govardhan Hill. It melted in the ecstasy of Balaram Prema, seeing Krishna's rasa dance. And there's other places. He had his favorite places, but he wasn't restricted to this place or that place. The essence was exchanging loving dealings with his devotees, the gopis in this case, with rasa dance. So here's the exquisite feature of this pastime is it's a crescendo of all rasas simultaneously. Of course, even when there was separation, the rasa didn't stop, but it becomes heightened by Krishna's direct interaction with different devotees and different rasas. So in this leela, especially, there's all of the rasas at once because they're all assembled together. And each, according to their relationship with Krishna, felt certain feelings, they behaved in certain ways, they spoke certain words. There's substantial commentary on this, just as substantial commentary when Krishna entered the wrestling arena of Kamsa. There's this celebrated verse that says, when Krishna entered the wrestling arena, by his side was Balaram, but different people saw him in different ways, according to their relationship. Kamsa saw this, and the young ladies saw that, and the ministers saw something else, and the yogis saw something else. He's one entity, but different perceptions of that same one entity because of different relationships or different sense of connectivity, different moods. So the same personality seen in different ways. Now here we are in the concluding section of the residents of Vrindavan leaving from underneath the hill, and then they're congratulating or offering blessings or thanking or thising or thatting and saying and doing and offering things, massaging his left arm and cracking his fingers. I find that pretty interesting. But you know, according to their position. And he's just reciprocating with them. He performs pastimes to strengthen, enhance, and nourish their transcendental emotion. And that gives him happiness. That's what we're hearing in the commentary. It's his happiness is their happiness. Now, and their happiness is his, this is unending competition. This is transcendental competition. The devotees see Krishna and they become very happy. And Krishna sees that they have become very happy and their beauty has increased, so Krishna's happiness increases. And they see Krishna's happiness and his beauty increasing, and so they become more happy and more beautiful and so like that. It's just an unending crescendo. And you put all the rasas together for 7 days, uninterruptedly. Fantastic. And they're not asking, hey, wait a minute, how can you lift the hill? Hey, wait a minute, how can everything fit underneath the hill? They're not asking that he's just, we heard in the commentary, he's displaying the fullness, well, he's displaying the fact that he's full of all opulences. Yogam Aishwaryam, they're seeing it. That doesn't register. Oh, he must be something. He's showing, but he's also not permitting them to like get it, because their love is stronger, so strong they can't see it. Now Indra gets it, and so he's going to come and do what he does. And you know, that happens when one's pride is curbed. You know, these good people, they feel repentant that they had become proud and they did what they did and they were feeling proud and so forth. So, you know, Krishna is reciprocating perfectly with Indra also by curbing his pride. It's really a beautiful pastime. And hearing from our acharyas help us appreciate some of the details of the beautiful pastime. They help us go more deeply. Let's see if there's some discussion.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. What are the indicators that we can use as warning to understand that pride is increasing? You know, like for Indra, in general, like, you know, when a person is proud, he will not understand that he is proud. Right? He will not know that he is proud. Right? So, is there a, like for me, for example, if I want to check, so what are the indicators that can tell me that, oh, there is a red flag here, or something is happening, be careful?
We know from Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, Amanit Bhambadam Vidvam, these are the first two items of knowledge, humility and pridelessness. Now, it would make sense, just based on that, that one would have to be situated in knowledge in order to see that there's pride. or say conversely, knowledge becomes covered. Now, we don't like so much notice, okay, now I'm in knowledge, okay, now I'm covered. We think, you know, we know. So what precedes pridelessness is humility. So then, what is humility? So when we lose humility, that's an indicator. So then, okay, now what's humility? That's an indicator that I'm covered by pride. So there's a material understanding and there's a spiritual understanding, and the spiritual understanding is really simple. I'm meant for Krishna's service. And when we forget that, you can be sure pride is there somewhere. I mean, it's a direct manifestation of false ego. Pride. It's a direct manifestation of false ego. Me. Proud. So humility is the counterweight. Who am I? Tiny speck. Not so important. Pride says, I'm important. So, forgetfulness of Krishna, we're like so accustomed to forgetfulness of Krishna. It's like, what's forgetfulness of Krishna like? It's our normal consciousness. That's an indicator. Let's say the counter is remembrance of Krishna. When that remembrance of Krishna becomes weakened, I'm meant for Krishna's service. That's the humility. Then minus that, absent that, or as that gets weakened, pride is there. It's going to be there. False ego's rules. And then, you know, everything downstream, intelligence, mind, senses, attraction of the objects of the senses. Through our dear friend, false ego. Okay?
So, what made Krishna forgive Indra?
He's kind. He wanted to check and he got checked. He came pleading forgiveness. Now there, you know, it's coming up that it's not directly in the Bhagavatam, but it's stated elsewhere by our acharyas. He went to Brihaspati. Uh-oh, I did it again. What should I do? And he suggests that he goes to, if you go in right now, who knows, Krishna may not even talk to you. But if you bring someone who's dear to him with you, Krishna's mood will soften. And so bring Sarabhi. Hey, that's a great idea. So he brought Sarabhi. So that's, it's tactic. Now, does that address your question?
Yes.
Okay.
This is from Shweta Mataji. We often hear that due to Indra's pride, he sent the rain clouds of devastation. I am wondering if the feeling of shame for Indra is spoken of somewhere. The shame felt by Indra when residents of Vrindavan were offering all the items to Krishna, whom he had forgotten about, to which Indra responded in retaliation.
Her specific question is there any indication that Indra felt shame? And I'm unaware that Indra felt shame. Indra felt he was going to get spanked. So he was concerned about that. he certainly felt regret. But I don't hear anything, I don't recall hearing anything that he felt shame.
Next question. This is from Shatrupa Mataji. Guru Maharaj, can you please help us understand what it means to forgive? Difference between forgiveness from material conception, forgiveness from spiritual platform.
There's degrees even on the material platform. Forgive, I can only speak in general terms because there are probably lots of ideas and definitions out there. But in general terms, you let go. There's a negative. You did something, and the other person says, you know, I forgive you. That means they let go of the hurt, and you know, they don't hold you accountable for their hurt. They may continue to some degree to feel some hurt, but they let go of holding you accountable. Then on the spiritual platform, it's not like there's, you forget in the sense, here's an example. Someone asked me this question. A GBC member recently asked me this question. Dhruva was told by Vishnu that Suruchi's going to die this way and his stepbrother's going to die that way. And in the commentary, it's mentioned that he informed Dhruva because he had this get-back mentality. So that he, you know, they're going to get theirs. And then the statement is also that when one offends a devotee, you know, there's repercussion. So don't offend a devotee. So the question that was being asked of me, it's on the topic of forgive. Three things. Why? Because Dhruva had, by that time, he had already forgiven. It wasn't like he wasn't holding anything. It showed when he saw his stepmother and saw his brother, was he had forgiven them. He wasn't holding on to anything. So why did they have to meet some bad consequence? And then further, Dhruva wasn't this exalted devotee when she did what she did, and what did his stepbrother do? Anyway, he was just like sitting on the father's lap, he's like neutral. But he met with it. So it's not easy to, you know, to understand something like that or that specific. But you know, the personality Godhead, although Dhruva forgave, the personality Godhead may not have forgiven. And who knows what she did before that for other things. And his stepbrother, what he did for other things. But at least between, so the spiritual forgiveness is that there's nothing. Like Vishvamitra, not like Vishishta, towards Vishvamitra Muni. It was gone. He didn't, in the beginning, hold anything, and there wasn't any, you know, he went, in the end, there wasn't anything. And he had, you know, appropriate regard for Vishvamitra. That's the spiritual kind. You know, there's no contact with matter. And the material kind is, I let go of my, you know, the ill feeling due to something that happened in contact with matter. I let it go. But you let something go and it can come back. because the impression is there in the mind. And, you know, you may forget something, and here comes another something, and then you remember that because there's the impression in the mind. But that's the material and the spiritual is not there. Even the impression may be there, it's just because there's no contact with matter. Not just a mode of goodness, it's like the difference between the mode of goodness and transcendence. Okay.
Next question from Ramesh Prabhu. When I pray to Krishna for specific material benefits, I am getting that wish fulfilled and I am grateful to Krishna at that moment. Again, I need something else coming up and asking Krishna for that. I feel guilty that Krishna has fulfilled my wishes, but again and again needs are coming and I'm keeping on going to Krishna for praying. After a while I got the doubt, do I love Krishna because he is taking care of my material needs? I want to love Krishna because of who Krishna is, not for anything else. Please understand the confusion here and help me develop love for Krishna.
Well, it's part of this trajectory going from mixed to pure. And this expression that he's sharing with us, there's transition from mixed to pure. And the desire to go further beyond the mixed to the pure, that's good. And because that desire is there, that's a likely impetus for Krishna to fulfill that desire. That is, Krishna saying, I'm not going to fulfill material desire, but if I do it in such a way that desire, that tendency for that desire is gone. So I don't want them to keep competitioning me again and again because I fulfilled the desire. So, you know, then his expression indicates he's on the way. Krishna's helping him get there. So it's not necessarily he has to go through some ordeal to get there, although maybe Krishna will help him that way, and otherwise it's just Krishna will reciprocate with that desire, wish to not come to Krishna, you know, with a requisition slip in my hand. You got a big warehouse, can I have some stuff? Oh, that was good, can I get some more stuff? Oh, can I get some more stuff? It's a material tendency. And it manifests itself even in relationships of this world, not just, you know, only as above, so below. And when I'm thinking specifically as a human trait, that one time I had a meeting in China with a millionaire lady, and in short, she had just gotten through, she and a friend gave a whole bunch of money to an orphanage. And she explained, they knew what would be coming, that is, the orphanage wanted more. And they were really clear up front, no. Before they even asked, and then they asked, and then it was no. Because it's just human nature. More, please. It's, you know, not that they couldn't have wisely used it, but, you know, they had decided, and that's it. So, that's on the material side of this devotee's question. So, to get beyond the material side of a relationship with Krishna, wanting a non-material relationship with Krishna is good. Krishna will help you. Just reading different, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading the description of different devotees that don't want anything. They don't want anything. Like, how'd they get there? By associating with those that don't want anything. And so we can associate through sound, through the Bhagavatam. It's wonderful. And there's some that want something. And they may get that something.
This my question, Guru Maharaj. I'm just articulating it in my brain. So when pride is checked, in general I have seen, like, for example, Jarasandha, who was defeated so many times, but his pride, he wanted to take revenge more and more, and he came 17 times. So even though his pride was checked. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, the Digvijaya Pandit, whose pride was checked, he wanted to commit suicide, but then Mother Saraswati told him that, you know, you argued with a person who is my master, so don't feel ashamed, and then he came and surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I am thinking that is when the pride is checked, automatically humility doesn't come in all the cases. Maybe Indra wanted to surrender at that point was his good quality that Krishna forgave.
There's a whole range of responses when pride is checked. And some people are like donkeys and if their pride is checked and they still don't, their pride isn't checked. Ravana, to the very end. So there's different responses even when one's pride is checked. But so what you're saying is correct. Just confirming.
No.
Nothing this morning? Okay.
Out of topic.
Krishna Vasudeva.
Some out of topic question.
Online or you?
Online. This one follows all that mantra series of questions. You know, that mantra.
Is it the same person asking the same question again?
Yes.
I don't know if I want to answer it. Just in principle, because, like, it can go on the next 5 years. Anyone else? Anything else? We're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki jai.